Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Joan, another week and a quiet one for audiences.
It really was. If you look at the Pope's public schedule, very, very few audiences, public speeches, etc. We certainly always have the Wednesday General Audience and the Sunday Angelus. Last Saturday, he did meet with Jan Eliasson, the current president of the UN General Assembly, and he's also Sweden's foreign minister at the same time. But very, very little other than that. There are events. There's news coming out of the Vatican. There's statements, declarations, positions here and in Geneva on quite a number of matters. But the Pope's schedule has been quiet. And of course, you and I were talking before we went on the air, the possibility that what he's doing is what so many people have been saying he's doing for a long time, praying and reflecting on some of the changes expected in the Roman Curia. Of course, people have been saying that for 14 months.
Yes, but also the week after next, he is traveling and we can be expecting to hear things about the family.
Oh, definitely. When he's in Valencia, his schedule was made available not that many days ago. And it's really kind of funny. It's like everybody in the world has known for quite some time, many, many months, that he's going to Valencia. Certainly the Bishop of Valencia and Pontifical Council and people have been talking about it. And it's like, well, the trip is only official when the Vatican Press Office releases the schedule of the Pope. And which they did recently. So he'll be there just for a weekend, July 8th and 9th. And we want to look forward to, we want to be very careful about listening to him. Everybody who's listening to us should kind of perk up their ears the weekend of the 8th and 9th of July, because it's kind of expected the Holy Father's going to talk about a number of very important issues, which more or less are threats to the family today, to human life and to the family. Obviously, the question of same-sex marriage. You have him going to Spain, where the leftist-leaning Prime Minister Zapatero, his government, approved same-sex marriages. I think he did it something like 2 days before the Pope took office, if you will, last year. Anyway, so there's a lot of threats, even coming out of the government, if you will, in the country that's hosting the conference. But another issue I think we can expect the Pope to talk about in that milieu is the question, for example, on June 15th, you have the European Community that had voted to fund research that would effectively destroy human embryos, research on embryos and embryonic stem cell research. And then, of course, within minutes, maybe because they were expecting it, the COMIS, the Commission of Bishops' Conferences of the European Community, came out with a statement through their spokesperson, the Secretary General, Monsignor Treanor, Noel Treanor. And obviously, they condemned this vote because it's totally the opposite of what the church teaches. That would be destroying life if you destroy an embryo. And so a very strong statement came out by the bishops on this, condemning this vote where the union wanted to go. And then in days after that, you had individual bishops making their positions known. You also had the Osservatore Romano, of course, is the Vatican newspaper. In a weekend edition, it criticized the vote taken by the European Parliament to budget funds for this. And the newspaper said such research is, quote, forgetting the tragedies of the 20th century. And all we have to do is think of Auschwitz, of the terrible medical experiments that were done on human beings who were live, fully developed human beings, and also on embryos. And on this same question, of course, of the research, the Bishop Elio Sgrecce, who's president of the Pontifical Academy for Life, he made a reference to Italy's Law 40, that's the name of the law, which bans experimentation on human embryos. And he noted the ambiguity of the Italian position in the European Parliament. And he asked, what can the attitude be when the decision of Parliament will need to go to the European Council, where the current Italian government has withdrawn the ban sanctioned by the referendum? And, of course, in Italy, for those who don't know it, the stem cell research is prohibited. So certainly any move in that direction to overturn that ban or allow such research would receive strong criticism, as it rightly should, from the Vatican, from the Holy Father. So when you mentioned earlier the family, I think that the meeting in Valencia certainly is going to hear some strong words on that, and that may not be the only milieu in which we will hear strong words. But in other news this week, this is one of the Pope's meetings. We were talking about it being a quiet kind of private meeting, quiet public week. The Pope on June 17th did meet Jan Eliasson, the president of the UN General Assembly. And in a statement, we know what their talk was about. It lasted about 25 minutes because Press Office Director Navarro Valls gave an indication that in this meeting, Benedict stressed the need to give consideration to religions in the process of globalization and the need for religious values in promoting peace and human rights. And human rights is kind of the key word also in this speech of his, because his speech came 2 days before the opening this past Monday, inauguration, if you will, in Geneva of the new Human Rights Council, the United Nations Human Rights Council. It replaces, of course, the very much maligned and seemingly very inefficient, ineffectual Human Rights Commission. So it's now apparently slimmed down a bit, has 47 members, opened on Monday. And the Vatican's equivalent of a foreign minister, Archbishop Giovanni Laiolo, spoke Tuesday after the opening in Geneva of this Human Rights Council. And above all, he told members they should really commit themselves to upholding human dignity by defending the right to life and religious freedom. And what I thought was fascinating about his talk is, in talking about human rights, he said, he told the council, respect for human rights is far from being a global phenomenon, which we know. But he said, there's many agreements and treaties regarding this, but then he really had the courage, if you will, to say there exists no right that is not violated in a number of countries, unfortunately, even among the members of this new council.
And our question for this week is, we believe as Catholics what is written in Paul's letters and in the Gospels. Are there actual documents left behind for us?
This was a fascinating question from a gentleman named Dick Keating. And he got this from the website, which, for those of you who can hear me and are having trouble finding the website to get the address to write questions, get a pen. The address, email address, is joanknows@gmail.com. Anyway, to answer Dick Keating, there are several original copies. I have seen several in the Vatican. The ones I saw, I think, were all written by St. Peter. And I think his first and second letter, they're in a room that is never, ever seen by visitors. These are the treasures of the treasures of mankind, the priest who showed me this room and these documents told me. But how do we know that this is really true, that somebody just didn't sit down centuries afterwards and write these wonderful books about this amazing man called Jesus Christ? Well, interestingly enough, biblical scholars, and I am not, I should say that right away, of course, I am not a biblical scholar. So, Dick, you might want to talk to your pastor. Ask him to talk about this some Sunday when he's giving a homily on the gospel. Ask him to perhaps explain to people, you know, yes, there are a few originals. Yes, we have copies of copies, but tests have been done over the years by biblical scholars. There's three tests in particular, one called the bibliographical test, assessed by counting the number of manuscripts that we have for an ancient text, so a copy of a copy, and so forth, and the time span between one copy and the original, bibliographical. Internal test checks the internal consistency of an ancient document. Does it contradict itself within the very same document? Is the information consistent with itself? And then the external test is this checks with other historically known data by which we can by which people can verify the information from the ancient text. So if you have copies of copies of copies even, and yet they basically all say the same thing, they use the same person's name, they talk about the Beatitudes and they give the same number, whatever it may be, if there's this consistency, you know it's inspired word of God. And in the case of some of the Gospels, you may have the Gospel of Mark, people say was written between 50 and 60 AD. There are others who might say 70. That's a very small difference in time. If somebody had said it was actually written in 300, well, then you'd have a huge discrepancy. So you have all of these factors coming together, and that's how we know with some certainty. And this is a terribly short and incomplete answer to a question that has many, many thousands of people around the world who have studied this for years and written extremely good books and taught extremely good courses.
Well, not only that, the tests that are applied to these writings are identically the same tests that are applied to any ancient document
all. Oh, the Iliad, yes, exactly. Yes. It does not have to be a biblical test. And you're absolutely right. So any document
it's
from...
It's standard archaeological science.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So those tests are applied, not only the ones I was mentioning, the internal, the external, the bibliographical. They are indeed applied to other texts. So just to take one of the more well-known cases, you've got the Iliad, and you've got maybe copies of copies with a several hundred year span between the so-called original or first copy and the last copy. But then you've got them all side by side, and they're practically identical. So does that verify it? Yes.
You've got the scripture scholar, but you've also got archaeologists and other scientists on the job as well. So there's a pretty fair body of
confirming evidence.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hmm. Great question, and do keep them coming. JoeKnows@gmail.com.